Thanks, Han. Friends, you would be well served to have that passage, those passages open before you as we take some time to go through it. If you're a visitor again, we usually take the time to go through a section of Scripture or a book of Scripture quite thoroughly. We're doing things a little bit differently in this E-series or this DNA series, and this morning we're going to race through this section of Scripture. You might be a little bit dissatisfied, but hopefully you can meditate, reflect, think about these wonderful treasures that are in the text in your own time, and happy to field more questions. What a great thing to hear about the Junior Jivers ministry. There is probably not another activity during the week that has face-to-face contact with our community every single week. It's a brilliant ministry. Keep praying for them. I was reminded this week of a friend of mine, and some of you know this friend. I'm going to move a bit forward. A friend of ours who is working and serving the Lord in the country of Japan. And she has stamped in her visa, the title of alien. Okay, so in Japanese it's written that she is an alien. Now this is a reminder to her that Japan is not her home. She's a foreigner. She's someone who, well, doesn't belong. Even though she speaks the language, has been there a long time, loves the people, but she is an alien. Friends, we need that reminder. And the book of 1 Peter reminds us of that, of our new identity in Christ. Verse 9 of chapter 2, it says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." And then in verse 11, Peter turns to them and he says, "I urge you as foreigners and exiles." He reminds them what their identity is, as foreigners and exiles. Another language there you might have heard, aliens and strangers. Someone, I think it's my wife's lovely writing, she's crossed out here exiles and put the word sojourners, those who are just passing through. This is not our home. And he reminds them that they are to abstain from sinful desires and to live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Friends, I want to focus on this for a moment, the reminder that this home is not our home. We are indeed aliens. We are merely traveling through. But the question needs to be asked, then, if this is not our home, if heaven is our home, if we're passing through, what kind of lives should we then live? My family spent 6 years in Hong Kong, and when we arrived, people encouraged us to join the Australia Association in Hong Kong, a big community there. And they said, this is the way to build friendships. It's the way to fight off homesickness. It's the way to really connect with people. But little did we know that the Australian Association was quite a close community. In fact, I met someone in the Australian Association that had been there for nearly 9 years and were talking together, and they said to me that in the 9 years they did not have a single friend who was a Chinese national, who was from Hong Kong. Not a single friend. All their friends were from the Australian community after 9 years. And Hong Kong's a city of 7 million people, most of them ethnically Chinese. We met some people in ministry there. They were in ministry to the seafarers, the ships that came in. And after 18 years of being there, I got talking with them about how much they connected with the local community. And they could only say hello in Mandarin, ni hao, instead of Cantonese, the local dialect, nei ho, which is how you would speak it. In 18 years, they didn't know how to say hello. That's the Australian community there in Hong Kong. But it's easy to point the finger at them and say, hey, you guys are not very outward looking. You're very insular. You don't connect with those around you. But what about us? What about Stromlo Christian Church? See, the Apostle Paul says, even though you are foreigners and exiles, aliens and strangers, you're to live lives amongst the pagans. Now, the pagans are a bit of a strange word. The idea there is the ones who live in the nations. It's in nations, the ones that are in the world. Friends, we are not to be so insular that we don't connect with the world around us. Someone shared with us recently that they were brought up in a sect or a cult, and their strict instructions were to not talk to anyone outside the sect. They were to only talk and relate to the people in the sect. Friends, we're given the opposite command. As we look in chapter 3, we see that we are to be people who give answers and give reason for the hope, and to do so in a way that is full of gentleness and respect. We're to relationally engage, we're to converse, we're to share the hope we've been given. Now, we do need to balance this, don't we? Some of us, we find that we do gravitate to things of this world, so much so that things of God really don't have much to do with our lives. We're encouraging you to be part of a life group. We'd love everyone to be part of a life group. But I would hate it if you were serving on during the week, you were part of a life group, you were part of junior jivers, you led a Bible study, you came on Sundays, you did all this stuff with church people, that you didn't have a single moment of spare time with anyone around you. See, God's gifted all of us with relationships, hasn't he? People to engage with, people to connect with. We need to be people, and we're called to be people who are living such good deeds amongst those around us that they see our lives and they know what we're on about. Now, this morning it would be pleasing to me if you weren't at church. It would be pleasing to me if you weren't at church, if you were part of one of these cyclists out there this morning. Now, don't hear me wrong, I really want to see you in church. In fact, I want to see you here before 9:30 so we can welcome people and be a family. But if you decided that, hey, actually, this is actually going to be a great opportunity for me to engage with those in my cycling community, go for it. Some of you are very good at that, that you intentionally and you think through the fact that, hey, yes, I need to grow spiritually, but I also need to engage with those around me. I want you to take your fingers, two fingers, and just connect them like this. So if you can do that, yep, all right. And try and pull them apart. Is that very hard? No, okay, it's not very hard. Okay, now I want you to get your hands and put them together like this. Now try and pull them apart. Connecting is one thing, but engaging is another. That's one thing to have acquaintances. But I think what's being on offer here is the idea that we are to share lives with those around us. That they are to see our good lives and glorify God. Now, I'm not trying to blow my own trumpet here, but recently we had an opportunity as a family to go round to someone's home who was in crisis and help them with some gardening. It wasn't hard. We went round and we got to share the morning with them. And as we got to talk with them, the tears started to flow with gratitude. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being a friend and helping me in this difficult time. One thing to know them, and I'd seen these people at the shops and I connected with them, said hi. But it's another thing to engage with my life with these people. We had on our basketball team a great new recruit last season. There's four of us from church who play in the same basketball team here. This guy was a very gifted point guard, can dribble, can shoot, can score. It's going to be awesome. He's going to be a part of our team. Next season comes round and he says, sorry guys, I'm moving teams. I'm going to another team. I thought, what? No, you can't leave our team. He's young, he's fit, he's faster than most of us on the team. And we ask him why. He said, well, there's actually too many Christians on your team. He's a Christian. And he says, I don't want to be amongst Christians all the time. In fact, there's another team here that not a single one of them knows Jesus. And now we play against him. He's in the same division. And I got to share with him and talk with him last week. And he said, from even the second week that I joined that team, one of the guys gave me a call and he said, I've had a breakdown in my marriage and I need a friend. I remember when we were friends back at school, there was something about Jesus in your life. He hadn't even had a chance to engage with him yet. But now, by being part of that team, he's able to share the gospel, and he said that recently over a beer he had a great conversation about Jesus. What are we doing to engage our lives with those around us. Again, I've challenged you before, it's one thing to think that people should come in here, but are we actually going out there? How could we dare expect people to come and be part of our lives if we don't even dare to step into their lives? Now, of course, again, we need to balance that with the fact that it's easier to pull someone down from a chair than to pull them up onto a chair, isn't it? It's easier for someone who is in a place of influence to be pulled down. The place of influence is to pull someone down. We need to be strong spiritually. We need to be growing spiritually. But as they see our good lives, it's not us that gets the glory, is it? That's verse 12 there. Who is it that gets the glory? It's God. It's God himself that seeks to be glorified. We live in a world who accuses us as Christians of being bigots, of being arrogant, of being people who are out of touch with the world, especially with the same-sex debate. Most people in our world think Christians are just arrogant bigots. But if we begin to share our lives with them, what will they see? Hopefully they'll see our good deeds. That perception will change, and they will glorify God. Now, I need to move on, because I think, looking at the clock, we need to hurry. But my challenge for us is for us to do real sharing, isn't it? To share not just superficially, but share deep relationships. And I really think that the world around us is hungry for deep relationships. There's so much virtual relationships going on. So many of our homes are fortresses that we don't allow people in. But when was the last time you invited someone into your home? It's a wonderful way to break down a barrier, isn't it? When they see your home, and let me encourage you, don't tidy up when they come round. Don't get it looking so schmick that they don't see the real you. Invite people into your lives. And my prayer is that as you do that, your heart will start to beat with the compassion of Christ. Phil pointed out before that Jesus himself, he was happy to have table fellowship and meals with sinners and prostitutes and tax collectors. Invite people that, well, they wouldn't ordinarily be your friends. As you do, then you'll start to feel compassion for those in your community. Well, what kind of sharing? Well, I think it should be real sharing. It should be deep sharing. Let's quickly look at chapter 3. What does it say at the end of verse 15? As you live lives amongst them, as they ask you questions, ask you about the hope, we are to be people who share with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect. Friends, I believe that this means that we are to be really good listeners. We're to be people of tenderness. We're to be people who have the humility of Christ. I had a friend who would take me door knocking when I was a student minister in Sydney. And it was scary. It was really scary. I didn't really like this. But the way he went about it was he would see which houses had been sold recently in the area. I think we can do the same now. And he'd realise, oh, there's new people that are going to move into that area. And we're actually going to be a friend to these people. We're going to say, hey, welcome to the area, and let's take them around a pack. It was a welcome pack, showing them of the resources in the area, and his wife was a good baker, so a big box of biscuits as well. We take around. Now, no one's going to refuse biscuits for free. And so we take it around to their home. And this guy was brilliant at listening. Now, you can develop this skill, but... I think that the key to what he did was from the very first moment that he introduced himself, he affirmed that they were someone worth listening to. They were valuable. Asking questions that showed interest. And then the hope was that maybe they would want to make contact with the church, or he'd see them down at the local shops. And so what he would do is he would always write down their name and write down their interests, write down some details. So if he met them again, he could say, hey, I remember you. You love rugby. Or, more importantly, your child was going through that tough time. I've prayed for them. I think we can relate deeply and like Christ if we do make an effort to remember people's names, we can remember their significant events. What if they've gone through some sort of grief and there's an anniversary? Man, we can have an impact if we remember that. I love the fact that we do have name tags up the back. I'm not all that brilliant with names, but I'd like to work hard at remembering people's names because it shows you're valuable. You're important. As we connect, we are to connect with gentleness and respect, being willing to listen and be people who invest intentionally into these people's lives. I'll tell you one more story recently. Oh, two more stories, actually, really. One more story. On Christmas Day, I went down to the service station there at Weston. And as I was about to pay, someone pulls up, fills up with petrol, and is about to do a runner. And so all the service station attendants run out and try and block his way. And this guy is very apologetic, and he says, "I've lost my wallet, I don't have the money to pay." And it looked like he was scamming them. I went out, they were very upset. I went out and said, "Listen, it's Christmas Day, I'll pay. I'm very happy to pay." This guy was thankful, he hopped back in his car and went off. Never saw him again. But the shop attendants, the guys who I had the opportunity to keep making friends with, they remember me, and I remember them by name. A friend of mine, I'm hoping with them that I can keep talking to them. A friend of mine who I'm now reading the Bible with is my hairdresser. And I'm again not blowing my own trumpet here. Someone at Coolman Court, I had the opportunity to go and have my hair cut with him. And I tell you the truth, it was not a great haircut. Now, sorry, Muffy, if you're listening to this, I'm happy to admit to that. It wasn't a great haircut. And I was thinking, oh, man, we had a great conversation. But do I really want to go back and get another bad haircut? It was a dilemma. I thought, no, actually, I want to build a relationship with this guy. I'm willing to get a terrible haircut for the sake, I mean, it's a small thing, isn't it, to go and share the gospel with this guy. And actually, he's really improving with his haircuts. He does a great haircut now. But the joy is that we get to read the Bible together once a week and pray for each other. Friends, there are opportunities all around us. Now, I just don't want to motivate you with stories or guilt or even point out this model that's in the scriptures simply because it's here. I think we need to ask the question, why on earth would we do it? See, if you're motivated by guilt or obligation, it might last you a single week, maybe a month, or maybe it would only last you until you walk out these doors and you'll say, hey, it's just not for me. I can't engage with those around me. But if you're motivated by what's mentioned here, that four-letter word, H-O-P-E, in verse 15, if you're motivated by the hope of the gospel in the Lord Jesus, you won't be able to stop telling people. If it's gripped your life, it'll be something that you'll be eager to share with those around you. See, I know some of you are extreme introverts. I really do. Some of you just, it's really, really tough to step out of your comfort zone. But I also know some of you who are introverts, who are motivated by this hope, the hope of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And so I see you, even on Sundays, eager to meet new people, to chase after people that are running out the door who might be leaving quickly. And it's not your default. You would rather just stay in your seat, never talk to a single person. But what motivates you? It's a heart of compassion. It's a heart that is driven by the hope of the gospel. That's my prayer for all of us. Skye said before that she knows that it's not just me, my responsibility. It's our responsibility. But I pray that as you look at the crowds around you, you will be driven by the compassion of Jesus. You will be stirred by the hope of the gospel, and you will be burning with the wonder of the grace of the Lord Jesus and what he's done in your life. Let's be people who engage with the world around us. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he not only came down to earth, he not only condescended to us to be amongst us as a sacrifice, but he related to sinners like us, sharing meals and sharing lives. Lord, we want to follow the example of Jesus. I pray that Stromlo Church would be known as a church that engages with those around us. But not so that we simply have lots of contacts in the community, so that more people know the wonder of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Stir in our hearts, I pray. Father, may we be known for this. May we be famous for this. And may you, as it says in that verse, so that you are glorified on the day that you return. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, I'm Pauline and I'm going to lead us in prayer in just a minute. I just wanted to point out that there's a prayer calendar in your outline today, so please pull that out and put it somewhere where you can see it regularly and make use of it. This morning we're going to be praying for the Hickel family, who are one of our global partners. Do we have a photo of them? Okay, they are in Leipzig serving with a church there. Let's come before God and pray. Oh, we also sung a very wonderful hymn to start with this morning, so I'm going to use that as part of the praise. Let's pray. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gates that all may go in. Father, Jesus, your Son, gave his life for us, and yet we continue to do things that do not please you. Father, we ask for your forgiveness, knowing that even as you forgive us today, we will need to ask again tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. Give us the strength to abstain from sinful desires. Help us to live in this world, but not to give in to the temptations of the world. May we be like-minded, sympathetic, loving to one another, compassionate and humble. Help us to live such good lives that people may see our good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Father, when we look at the wrong and suffering in the world, the wars, the natural disasters, the famines, another shooting in America, we want to cry, "Come, Lord Jesus, come, and bring all this madness to an end." And yet while we wait, there is opportunity to tell more people about your gospel message so that they can share in the hope and promise of eternity with you. Help us always to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us, to give the reason for the hope that we have, with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. We thank you for opportunities that you give us and doors that you open, particularly in Canberra schools. We praise you for the opportunity that Harrison Wright and Connor Sproul have to start a Bible study group at Stromlo High. We thank you also for super clubs, CEIS and other scripture programs in schools. Father, please bless and expand these ministries. Raise up leaders where they are needed. Bring kids and teachers to the activities. We ask that the lives of the kids and their families and the school communities will be transformed by knowing you. We also thank you for the opportunity that Harrison and Tom Murdoch have to take part in the Year 13 program. Please bless them while they are in Sydney. Strengthen their faith and may they grow in their knowledge and love of you. Please also bless their families while they're away. We thank you for the faithfulness of the Hickel family, Klaus and Jude, Ollie, Lucas and Max serving you in Leipzig. Please continue to sustain them and give them wisdom, compassion, patience and love. Please continue to grow both the German and English speaking congregations. We ask that the asylum seekers that come will know the hope of your salvation. Please grant Klaus patience as he navigates the ordination process. We thank you for the release of the German emu CD that Jude has worked on. And we ask that through this music, your name will be glorified and lives will be changed. Merciful Father, please grant Klaus and Jude energy and enthusiasm as they continue to serve you. Help us to remember to pray for them. Father, we thank you for the abundance of children at Stromlo and for the privilege that it is to be their church family. Please be with Jen and the team of volunteers as they begin Stromlo Kids today. Help them to love the kids and to communicate and model the gospel to them. Father, please raise up more leaders for our kids and prompt us to respond with yes if you are asking us. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. O come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he has done. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Son. Amen.